The following sermon was delivered on Sunday evening, March 4th, 2012, at Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey. This is the sixth sermon in a series entitled, Finding the Right Person in the Right Way. And the preacher is Pastor Mitch Lush from Grace Church in Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. You'll notice in Proverbs 31 and verse 1, these are words that come from God by way of Lemuel, by way of his mother. At least the opening words, and I am of the mind that it reflects all the way through verse 10 through 31 as well. Notice with me these 22 verses, each beginning with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, He, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Gracious Father, surely it is with a purpose that you worked in the heart of King Lemuel's mother and worked in the heart of King Lemuel, for you have breathed out this portion of your word. You've seen fit to preserve it for us even today. And we would ask that even though there are a number of figures and analogies that are drawn from an agricultural world, we believe that your word is relevant for us. We believe that this portion of your word is very relevant to the matter of what a young woman should be. And so, our God, we pray that with hearts of young women attuned to becoming what they should be, and with the hearts of young men attuned to what they should look for in a spouse, we pray, O God, that you would draw near to us, realizing the critical importance of this decision for our youth. We pray that you would send your Spirit to help us tonight. Help speaker, help hearer alike, that we would understand your word and profit from it. We pray this In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
As I ponder the foreverness of marriage, one question keeps rattling through my mind. What qualities should I look for in a wife? Perhaps you wonder the same thing as you consider spending the rest of your life with one special person. When I think of that question, I know the answer entails many deep internal characteristics. But in everyday life, I still find it difficult to get past the superficial. A cute girl walks in the room, and all my common sense evaporates. How many times have I made a complete fool of myself by falling head over heels for someone simply because of her charm and her beauty? Too many times. To cure this tendency, I've created a little game. When I meet a beautiful girl and I'm tempted to be overly impressed by her external features, I try to imagine what this girl will look like when she is 50 years old. This girl may be young and pretty now, but what happens when the beauty fades? Does anything within her beckon to me? Is it her character that radiates and draws me toward her? Or is it just the fact that her summer dress shows a little too much of her tan? So what if her feminine outline captures my eye today, when pregnancies add stretch marks and the years add extra pounds? Will something in this girl's soul continue to attract me? My apologies on behalf of the author to the 50-something women in our midst here this evening, and for the one who had no better sense than to read this in your presence. Consider with me, as you see on your handout sheet, Roman numeral 1. The root of her character. The root of her character. Lemuel gives to us, first of all, two common mistakes on a woman's worth. Two common mistakes on a worth. From verse 30 of our text. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. First of all, there is a rejection of deceptive charm. Charm is deceitful. Charm has the original sense of grace or of gracefulness, something of an external manner that draws our aesthetic approval. Proverbs 5 and verse 19 speaks of as a loving deer and as a graceful doe. There's our word. There's something that is aesthetically pleasing about that graceful deer. Proverbs 21 and verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips. There's our word. There's something about this guy in the way that he speaks. He's wise. There's grace on his lips that draws favor. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. There's our word, charm, graceful. It draws our favor. There's something pleasant, externally at least, about this woman. But then the word deceptive. Deceptive speaks of the disappointment that arises from falsehood and betrayal. Charm tells me that if I could simply be with this girl for the rest of my life, I would be happy. But charm lies. The charm can indeed be a liar. It will take something more than external pleasantness to make a Christian man happy. And God is telling us that a woman's real worth is not in her external attraction. Secondly, number 2, there are two common mistakes. So Lemuel tells us that there is also to be a rejection of breath-like beauty. A rejection of breath-like beauty. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Beauty. Our word for beauty is used of Queen Vashti. She was brought in so that they could show her beauty. Proverbs 6 and verse 25 concerning the immoral woman. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. I think we understand what that is. The word for passing is the word breath. It's the word that is used in Ecclesiastes, breath of breaths. Vanity of vanity. Everything is as significant as a puff of air. And the external beauty of this woman is said by Lemuel to be as significant as a puff of air. 1 year into a marriage, an accident can come and mar all of that physical beauty. Age will work against that physical beauty. So now, in the interest of balance, please understand that these words come in the sense of their original Hebrew language. I believe that it's an example of absolutes used for relatives in comparison. In a similar way that our Lord says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We know from the breadth of the scriptures that God does not require us to actually hate a father or mother, but quite the opposite. But it is an absolute given for a relative. Jesus is saying, compared to that ultimate love for him, all of our other affections have to be like a hatred. And so similarly here, in Proverbs 31, we understand this as being relative. In comparison to that of that which is most important about this woman, that which is skin deep is not very significant at all. But later on, we will find, as we have read already, those verses that will speak of something of a stylish elegance in this woman. And it's a part of her virtue. So I am not at this point quite ready to drop the enchanter out of the face. A follower of Christ, an ally in convictions, a companion in communication, and an enchanter in romance. Proverbs 31 says that there is nothing spiritual about trying to look dowdy and to be repulsive in appearance. Proverbs 11 and verse 22 is helpful at this point. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. If you've got someone who is lovely outwardly, and yet inwardly she is not so lovely, the loveliness outside of that woman corresponds to the gold ring. But the lack of loveliness on the inside corresponds to the pig, and it's not fitting. We want both to come together. Something of a stylish elegance and something of the fear of God on the inside. So for this woman, compared to the fear of God, charm is going to deceive you. Compared to the fear of God, physical beauty is as lasting and as significant as a puff of air. So we see Lemuel giving us two common mistakes. Secondly, B, the foundation. The foundation and the source of a woman's worth. If we're not to look at the first part of verse 30 and put all of our stock in her charm and in her beauty, where are we to put our stock? Well, the latter part of verse 30, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Fearing the Lord is at the root of Old Testament Christianity. Fearing the Lord is the occasion of praise. She shall be praised. Hallel. And you can hear it. The hallelujah is here. There is a praise that will come to this woman. Fearing God can be defined as an all-pervasive sense of who God is, an all-pervasive sense of God's presence, and an all-pervasive sense of obligation to God. Fearing the Lord, though, continues into the New Testament. Let's be careful again and say, well, this is an Old Testament passage, and almost be nervous and fidgety and allergic to it. For in 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, we are urged to conduct ourselves throughout the time of our stay here in fear. We are told to honor all the people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We are told in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, therefore, having these promises, having all these promises, let's just delight in all the promises we've got and all the acceptance that we feel in our relationship with God. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't we comfortable? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The fear of God comes over into the New Testament. So we are to expect the reality of finding a young woman who has been brought into union with Jesus Christ, and because of her coming into union with Jesus Christ, she has a heart that reverences the God of heaven. Here is not the perfection of biblical piety that we're looking for, but we're looking for that which is at the heart, that which is at the core, that which is going to be the root to produce all these other graces. King Lemuel's got to remember these 22 characteristics found in these verses. But what is that which is at the foundation and the root? It is her fearing and reverencing God. So here we find that there was a picture that King Lemuel, if he's not married yet, can carry around in his pocket. And he sees a young lady, and he can look at the young lady and see if there's any correspondence between the picture of the virtuous woman and that one that his mom wants him to marry. And similarly today, the young woman with Proverbs 31 and her Bible can carry around in her own pocket a picture of that which she is to become, that which she is to be by the grace of God. Roman numeral 1, then, the root of her character. Consider with me, secondly, the particulars. The particulars of her character. And here we come to consider another one of those silly little acrostics, wisdom. We've seen face. We've seen chief for the men. The considerate Christian gentleman, the humble servant, the initiating leader, the enterprising provider, and the faithful lover. And here we come up with one, and instead of five characteristics that we've had for the man, we have seven for the women. Come on, Pastor Mitch, can't you do better than that? Listen, you ought to be thanking me. I took the list of 22 and reduced it down to seven. I knew that some of you men would have problems with your memory, so that's why I did that. A, under wisdom. Her practical wisdom. Here in verse 26a, she opens her mouth in wisdom. Now, isn't that an interesting place to begin when we're talking about looking at a potential young woman? Here's someone who is 19. Here's someone who is 22. Here's someone who is 26. And a young guy is looking at her, considering her. And what does he need to look for? What's coming out of her mouth? Is wisdom coming out of her mouth? Is there a skill in living? Bezalel was full of wisdom and was of a great help for the constructing of the temple that God had revealed to Moses. And Proverbs 9 in verse 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you see that this girl, first of all, is not a flighty, shallow person who lives in her own little bubble world of existence. But she is learning from the book. She is learning from others. Her peers look to her for advice because she is marked by opening her mouth, and the stuff that comes out of her mouth reveals that she's got a skill in living. As Bezalel's got a skill of working with the tapestry and getting the purples all to match, so she's got a skill that just comes out of her mouth. This is a very capable woman. Wisdom. A very capable woman who lives her life in conjunction with and submission to her husband out of righteous principle. And not out of dire necessity of having to have someone else think for her. She's a very competent woman. But she sees the way of God. Her practical wisdom. The I in the wisdom, secondly, B is industry. Her enterprising industry. We could look at verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 16, 19, and 20. All of these speak of her industry. Consider with me just quickly in survey fashion the categories of her work. There is domestic work. She works on clothing, verse 13, verse 19, verse 22. She works with woolen flax, the distaff and the spindle. She makes tapestry. She works with food, verse 14. She gets it from afar, verse 15. She rises while it's still night and gets food for her household. If you've got maid servants, why don't you just ring the bell and get them to bring you breakfast? Verse 28, her work includes the character. Those who know her best, her children and her husband, rise up and call her blessed. So there's her domestic work. Then there is as well here something of her agricultural work. You see it in that she is the one who considers a field and buy it. Did I say that this was a competent woman who didn't really need to lean on someone else? You think about that. And then from her profits, verse 16, she plants a vineyard. The feminist should love this. She's in competition with the man. She's going to drive them all out of business. She has her cottage factory. Verse 18, merchandise is good. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She has her benevolence work. Verse 20, she's not one of these uppity women that's into making everything for herself. All her money for herself and the prestige. Her hands go to the poor. Her hands go to the needy. And there's almost an earthiness that is there, isn't it? It's not, well, you know, I gave at the office. But her hands are going out to the poor and the needy. Note the manner of her work. She is other-oriented. She's concerned about her maidservants, verse 15. She is the one who's concerned about the poor and needy, verse 20. She's the one who's concerned about her household. Because she plans ahead, she's not afraid of the snow that is going to come. She is diligent and disciplined. She's up early. Her lamp is on at night. She's not afraid of the snow. She does not eat the bread of idleness, verse 27. The manner of her work is not only other-oriented and diligent, but she is satisfied in her work. She perceives that her merchandise is good. She does all of this work and she looks at the product and she says, yeah, it is good. We have been diligent and here is a quality product. No wonder there was something of profit to provide for the planting of a vineyard. And note how her work is different, though, from the career woman of modern feminism. She is different in the kinds of work that she will do. The lowly is not beneath this woman. The agricultural is not beneath this woman. The ministering to the poor and the needy is not beneath this woman. She is different in the focus of her work. She is family oriented, as Titus hears from Paul in chapter 2 and verse 5. She is a homemaker. She is a home worker. She is not a slouch who stays home to watch soap operas. And that leads us to ask the question, young women, what kind of work ethic are you developing in your character even now? Young man, what kind of work ethic are you looking for in the young woman that you are considering? Work ethic? I didn't even know I was supposed to be looking for that. Well, you are. Even in your teen years, young women, the foundation of a strong and varied work ethic can be laid. And based on your work ethic, are you ready to get on that train that's going to Alaska, the place of marriage? You remember, we're perhaps a little hard on the young men. Are you ready to get on the train if you don't have your boots, if you don't have your gloves, if you don't have your hat, you don't have your warm parka? Don't get on the train that's going to go to Alaska and you have to get off until you're prepared. Don't get on until you're prepared to get off. It's perhaps a little hard on the guys, our imaginary 15-year-old that had to ask mom to take him to go to the mall and had to pick up Susie on the way to the mall because he's got a date. And then he's got to ask mom for $50 spending money. He's not exactly ready to get on the train. Young women, we could be equally hard here, couldn't we? There is this work, there is this industry that is to be worked into your character. And then you'll be ready to get on the train heading towards Alaska. Wisdom, W, I, industry. C, her emotional strength. Verse 25. See the statement of the text. Strength and honor are her clothing. Strength. And there is a verse that speaks of our arms are strengthened. But it seems that the focus of the text is of a strength, of a might, of a power, of a fortress in an emotional sense. Job 12 and verse 16 speaks of God. With him are strength and prudence. Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong. And here we are directed to see that a young lady is to become strong in her character, strong in her emotions. What are you looking for, young men? Are you looking for an ability that a young lady has to rise above the difficulties and the circumstances of life? What one is called a power over the changes of temporal circumstances, which easily shatter and bring to ruin a household resting on less solid foundations. Bridges, Christian courage and resolution lift her up above appalling difficulties. May the Lord give help. This is the opposite of an unwillingness to accept difficulties. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe it's happening to me. I can't believe. Strength and honor are her clothing. What you see when you look at this young woman is something of strength, of emotional strength. It's exemplified in the two Margarets among the covenanters, one old Margaret and the one young Margaret. And as I recall the story from years ago, that the older Margaret was put out further out at sea and the younger one in closer to the shore. And as the waves came in, as the tide came in, the older Margaret would be drowned and she would not recant. She was true to the Lord. And the hope evidently was that as the younger teenage Margaret would watch the old Margaret drown, that she would be broken. But she was not. They both drown as martyrs, faithful to the Lord, clothed with strength. Now, this is not a special occasion, once a year prom dress that she puts on. Yeah, I was strong once. I was strong one day. Broke a fingernail, and I didn't even scream. It's emotional strength. It's the common everyday dress. It's what people see when they look at you. W, wisdom. I, industry. S, strength. Now D, a second S, pardon me for not spelling it right. D, her elegant stylishness. Her elegant stylishness, verse 22. There is this garment that she is in. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Here is the virtuous woman who does not regard it as some sort of obligation to look dowdy. And perhaps it carries over into how she keeps herself. In 1 Peter 3, wives are urged to be submissive. And then Peter goes on in verse 3 there to say, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. We want to be balanced in our view of what the virtuous woman is. She is a virtuous woman who's got that depth of character down in the core of her being. She fears God. But that doesn't mean that she dresses in a dowdy manner. There was a stylishness about her, what we might call the Proverbs 31 woman. As we would see her, we would expect to see a modest stylishness, a modest elegance. And there's not a contradiction that is in that. Though the world would say, show yourself to all, the Bible will tell you, save yourself, hide yourself, save yourself for your husband. Here is something of biblical balance. Now, young women, this is not a guarantee for all women in all circumstances, in all ages, that they will have fine linen and purple. This is a woman whose husband is sitting in the gates. This is a woman who is able to sell her cottage merchandise, and from her profit, she's able to expand and plant a vineyard. This is a woman who is able to consider a field and buys it. So don't get married with the notion of, well, we may starve, but I'm going to have my fine linen and purple. She is one who has been blessed of the Lord in many ways. W, wisdom. I, industry. S, strength. S, stylishness. E, we come to dignity. Her merited dignity. First part of verse 25, we've looked at it before. Now we look at the other word. Strength, emotional strength was her clothing. What else do you see? Honor. Dignity. Dignity. The message of the passage is that what you see in this woman is not only emotional strength, but you see dignity. Now, the word originally meant an ornament, a decoration, and therefore the honor. It's used of God in Psalm 45 and verse 4. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and humility. There's some kind of badge that God is wearing in that picture that marks out his splendor, that marks out his majesty. Proverbs 14 and verse 28. In a multitude of people is the king's honor, his dignity. That's his badge. How big are you? How bad are you, Mr. King? Well, look back here at all my soldiers. There's my badge of how important I am. The grace that is here spoken of is an honor or a dignity of her person. It's a badge of respect Not because of the men that are out there, but it's a badge of respect because of the faithful consistency of her character. Remember in the emotional subjectivity, where when our eyes first met, then I knew that she was the one for me. How can you discern dignity? How can you discern this consistency of character? Well, the first glance or a gleam in the eye. That's not how you see it. It only comes after exposure over the course of time. This is not intuitive, but it's objectively assessed over the course of time, where time and time again, this young woman manifests that the grace of God is down deep in her heart and it bubbles out in her consistency. And so it's pictured here as a badge that she is able to wear. Strength and honor, dignity stamps her. You see, this is just the opposite of a young female hypocrite. One who talks one thing and lives another. You can't respect a person like that. You can't give them a badge of dignity when they say this and they do that. I mean, even the world knows that. This is the opposite of the self-centered, self-absorbed young woman who may be cute, but she does not earn your respect. Listen to what you're saying. If you describe a young lady that way, young men, she's cute, but I'm not sure that she earns my respect. When the self-absorbed gal is having a bad day, everybody knows it. Ah! There's a pimple on my face. With this humidity, my hair is all a mess. When the self-absorbed gal is having a good day, then everybody will know it. We're looking here for the young woman who has dignity, a badge that comes from a consistency of her character. And now, F, we see O, her optimism, her Christian optimism. Strength and honor are her clothing, verse 25, now the latter part. She shall rejoice in time to come. The statement of the text in the ASV is, and she laugheth at the time to come. New American, and she smiles at the future. Originally, it is a word for laugh that is heightened in its meaning with a preposition that is added. So it is to laugh with scorn. This is an interesting concept that we're finding in this young lady. In Job chapter 39 and verse 19, this word is used, but it's used strikingly of a war horse. Listen to the text. Have you given the horse strength? 39:19. Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear. There's our word. Mocks at fear. Now, those of you who have been around horses, you're up on their back and there's something of noise and they can be easily spooked. And they're going that way, not into the noise. But here the young woman is likened to the war horse that is bred and trained for war. And he smells the battle and he hears the clash and he wants to be there. There's a strength of character, isn't it? You see, the young woman of virtue is not likened to the dog hiding under the bed because the thunder is clapping. There is a complexity and a depth of graces that are found here. Young woman, what do we see in our photo of virtue? Here we see one who laughs at the future, not fearful of things to come. Is this some sort of irrelevant disregard for the future? This is somebody who's saying in her heart and her mind, let's party because tomorrow we may die, laughing at the future in that sense? Well, surely not. This is a God-fearing woman. That's the root and the source. She wisely plans and diligently works, but she is not consumed with a fretful worrying. She's not afraid. Her Christian optimism is rooted in that God is on his throne. And God will carry me through this. I know it's a mess. I know it's a difficulty. I don't know what the answer is going to be. But I know that God is on his throne. And he's going to carry me through like this one, just like he did in the past. So early on, she has begun to find the balance between human responsibility and God's kind providence. Listen to Paul's testimony regarding something of his Christian optimism. Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what we're talking about. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Romans 8 and verse 28, and I want to emphasize the first few words. And we know. And we know. And we might dare to hope. And we know that all things work together for good. Here is one who is tested and proven, but is not a basket case. Once again, do you see something of the depth of character in this person? Do you see the complexity of complementing graces that are found here? Are these kind of women a dime a dozen? Are these the kind of women that you can just, as we heard earlier, establish what traits you want in a woman and set a time that you want to be married and then boom, go about your business and then somebody will just show up? Houses and inheritance are from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. God's grace has come and strengthened the natural timidity of her femininity. The Christian optimist is not the problem magnifier. It's not the one who, whatever happens, the first thing that you need to do is scream three times and then get the magnifying glass out. And if it's this big of a problem, let's make it really big. I mean, what's the sense of facing a difficulty without making it really, 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 really bad? The reality is, there's only little old me here, and this huge, getting huger problem. No, she smiles at the future. She is a Christian optimist. God is not locked out of the picture, because God is in her world. She has that confidence. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous woman is as bold as a lion. W, wisdom. I, industry. S, strength. S, stylishness. D, dignity. F, I'm sorry, that's my F. O, for optimism. I can spell wisdom, even with two S's. G, her gracious manner, her gracious manner, the latter part of verse 26. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. Are you getting a sense of something of the breadth of this woman's character? Here is someone who is the strong business type. Here is one who is quite capable, is quite organized. Snow, that's all right. Just pull this out. All right, got it ready. We're organized. We're good. There's strength. There's a badge of consistency. But oftentimes what you find with that strong business type of woman who can make a profit and can consider a field and buy it and decide to expand and plant a vineyard, you don't necessarily expect to find with that strength of character that the law of kindness is on her tongue. The law. There is a principle that guides her tongue. Kindness, mercy, or goodness. Proverbs 16 and verse 6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim each one his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 19:22. What is desired in a man is his kindness. This is our word. She imposes a law on her tongue that requires that she will be consistently gracious in her speech. Now, ladies, I understand. You can breathe. There's no one who reaches the perfection in all of these complementary graces here on earth. But surely we see that such a woman with a law of kindness on her tongue, it is the opposite of the hard gal. The one who is cold and unfeeling and unkind in her speech. The one who has a mean spirit or a mean streak who delights to make others miserable. Or maybe she doesn't delight to make others miserable. It's just when somebody crosses her, she has the ability and takes delight in putting that person in their place. And with a sword. The feminist movement has worked hard to develop strong character in women so that they can, in the language of one of their authors, they're in the position to be on top. And they can despise the mutant little male. Meanwhile, young men, our generation of young men are likely far too passive. Carefully observe this biblically balanced portrait. She is competent, she is accomplished, and she is accomplishing as a woman. She is diligent and disciplined and organized and successful. And yet she's not hard. She's not calloused. And she's not insensitive. She has a concern for others that is seen in her other orientation. She's getting the food for the maidservants. Her hand is going out to the poor and the needy. And she's gracious in her speech. Young woman, look at this picture that you can pull out of your pocket and see how you meet up. We're not looking for perfection, but we're looking for some measure of reality. And that will be a hint to you that it's time for you to be ready to board the train that is going to Alaska. The root of her character, the particulars of her character, and now Roman numeral 3, the result of her character. First of all, A, she will be a blessing to her children. They are blessed under her care, her instruction, and her example. What a wonderful thing to have a God-fearing woman whose character is so exemplary. She's like a lighthouse in the mind for all of the days of those children who were privileged to have her as a mother. The children bear witness of their sense of privilege in verse 28. And I read that and I think that the very fact that they're praising mom is an indication that mom has been training them. Because natively selfish children don't so much appreciate things that they have. And the whole matter of looking around and recognizing that you have something good and then thanking the person who's giving you that something good. Probably some motherly training has been involved in that. But the sense of gratitude is not found in the naturally selfish. God has helped her. God has blessed her children. And the children reflect on their mother. Young man, where are you going to get this kind of woman for your children? This kind of mother? I know that every Christian young man would love to have a mother that is going to have this kind of positive influence on the children. She will provide a ballast in the ship during the storms of life. She will bring a sense of right to the situation. She is, after all, that one who's got a law that kindness is going to come off of her tongue. She will be a lighthouse, safely directing her children and avoiding the killer rocks in the time of trial. And that example will continue on even after such a mother is gone from this world. Young people, do you remember where we began on Friday evening? The seminar held at the University of Chicago. And the sponsor, what's the most important decision that you're going to make in your life? Well, what grad school I go to, what career path I choose. And then there was that one guy who answered and said, choosing the woman who will be the mother of my children. And he got mocked for that. And then how this older Jewish couple reflect on that and they say, you know, guy's got some sense. And I think that as we look at the character of a godly woman, we see how that makes tremendous sense. She will be a blessing to her children. Secondly, B, she will be a blessing to her husband. Maybe she's been involved in training him too. I don't know. Because he praises her. But notice with me verse 10, Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, young man, I doubt that you have a clue as to how important this marital faithfulness and harmony are. Maybe you're far ahead of where I was at your age. But over the course of years, the sense of what a virtuous wife is, how she is far above rubies and her worth, and that a man can trust. What a tremendous value. What a tremendous asset. That a man can trust his wife. And she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. There will very likely be, for some young men here, a sense of hurt and a sense of horrible betrayal that comes from a wife who isn't exactly Proverbs 31 kind of material. There will be a devastating sense of loss as if someone died. And something did die. A marriage. And there will be the ache of remorse and of regret. Where are you going to find this kind of woman? This kind of woman who will bring this kind of good? Young man, are you willing to get on the train heading to Alaska with the first little cutie that is willing to have you? Please don't do that. Needs to be the first little cutie that happens to be the kind of woman that you can safely trust in for all of your days. Proverbs 31 is not talking about the perfect woman that is married to the perfect man. But there's something of reality there. There's no perfection in this world. But there is such a thing as reality of God-fearing character that blossoms out from the inside out of a godly woman. She will be a blessing to her husband, and he will praise her. But then thirdly, see, she will be a blessing to herself. Wow, lady, you do a lot of work. Wow, lady, you do a lot of work for others. Is it worth it? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And God's writer is this Lemuel, is it his mother? But God stands behind whoever it is. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Here's a woman that's been industrious and this, that, and the other. And God says, take these out to the gate, to the public place, and put them on display there. Let everybody see the work of her hands. She will be a blessing to herself. Now, all of that begins with a humble faith in the Lord Jesus Christ owning a young woman's sin, right? But it starts there, and then God, by his indwelling spirit, produces the fruit of the spirit, produces the kind of character that we find in Proverbs 31. And so, young ladies, please give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Please be honest enough to see your weakness. Please see that if there's a sense that you're overwhelmed by this kind of characterless of the wisdom, that you know that your only hope is for you to be in Christ and the Spirit of God to be in you, producing this fruit. And as you believe in Christ, the grace of God will come helping you and mold you into one who is pleasing in God's sight. And the believing woman, the virtuous woman, will be praised, not merely by her sensible kids and her sensible husband, but in the last day she will be praised by the God of heaven and earth. In Jesus' parable in Matthew 25, the Lord said to that faithful servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Here's the root of her character. Here are the particulars of her character. Here are the results of her character. Sensible kids praising her, sensible husband praising her, and the God of heaven saying, let her work stand out there in public, and may it praise her. Well, let us praise the God of grace, who alone is able to work that kind of character into any of us. Let's pray. Father, we are aware that there are many large and powerful destructive waves that are crashing on the coastline of marriage. We are aware of something of the effects of the sexual revolution of the 60s, the self-centeredness of a past generation, the feminism that has come and impacted our society, as well, even more recently, the influence of homosexuality, the cultural trends on major campuses for marriage to be despised. Lord, we are glad for young people who love you from the heart. We are glad for young men and young women who are concerned about getting you glory in their lives. And we pray that in this most important decision, this most important matter, that you would be pleased to give them grace. Our Father, we know that standing against something of the flow of our society, it will be hard for some to say, I don't want to be on the train just yet. When everyone around them wants to be on the train for something of prestige and a proof of their popularity. But we pray, our God, for our young people that they would concentrate on becoming even more than finding. And we would ask that, particularly for the young ladies, as we have focused on this Proverbs 31 virtuous woman, we pray, our God, that you would be pleased to help them to understand the root of her character. I ask, O God, that you would not allow any young person to be overwhelmed with a sense of how far she falls short. If she does, we pray, Lord, that you would lead her to the grace and mercy that is in your Son and the indwelling help that is found in your Spirit. And we pray that over the course of time, there would be a development of these graces that would cause a young man just to tremble in delight over the character that you have worked into her. And our God, in the minimizing of the influence of Christianity in our day, we pray that you would be pleased to give us godly marriages going into the next generation, should you tarry. And we pray that there would be a wonderful and gracious influence on their children, and that through all of this, they would be a credit and an honor and a glory to you, our God. We pray this in Christ's powerful name. Amen.
Amen.